Some women love company when they kill.
But you have homework.
Daddy's little girl has a new man in her life.
Go home.
He was pretty obsessed with her.
If you really loved me, you would do it.
He would do whatever she asked him to do.
We would do everything together.
Two sisters want to hide a secret from their boss.
You look beautiful.
The sisters were acting as one and saw themselves as part of each other.
And a bright student.
It's the only way.
Gives her boyfriend some homework.
I've seen some gruesome things, and this would rank one of the top.
These deadly women are twice as evil. They are double trouble. In 2010, in the desert city of Tucson, Arizona, evening meals are special for the Sanchez family.
Clarissa said she'd be home.
She'll be home soon.
The one time of the day when they can all be together before Mom Sarah starts her night shift.
She was a nurse, so she worked nights. And then she would come home, and Andrew would go and work during the day.
It gives 38-year-old Andrew time to bond with his daughters.
He always spoke highly about his wife and daughters.
This weekend, are we going camping?
Yeah.
Cool. Sounds like fun.
16-year-old daughter, Clarissa, holds a special place in his heart.
See you tomorrow.
Okay. Right. Take care.
Clarissa had pictures of her and her father from her last birthday that said Daddy's Princess across the bottom. They seemed very happy, smiling.
I'm in a real hunk.
No way.
But soon, another man commands Clarissa's attention.
You're really cute.
Her first boyfriend, 19-year-old Ray Coronado.
Clarissa's parents were okay with Ray in the beginning. They thought that he was respectful.
What do you want to do tonight? Do you want to do something?
It doesn't matter.
She didn't have a lot of friends outside of Ray. He was her best friend.
I mean, I have a lot of fun whenever I'm with you.
Clarissa's parents don't mind until the relationship becomes all-consuming.
But you have homework?
They had concerns about the amount of time the couple was spending together.
When parents forbid a daughter to see someone, they better keep an eye on things and not turn their back.
The couple can't bear to be apart. Ray starts sneaking to Clarissa's bedroom at night.
I missed you.
Me too.
He would come to her window after everyone in the house had gone to bed.
You weren't waiting long, were you?
Nah.
They would talk or hang out at her window for hours.
See you. I get it. Ray, go home.
The late night visits test her father's patience.
Clarissa, it's getting out of hand.
Andrew worried about the relationship because Ray had become overly possessive of her.
Andrew just wants to protect his daughter.
He's too possessive.
He decided that that was it, that they could no longer date and go on these day-long excursions together.
You can still see each other.
But that they could remain friends.
No more going out.
I should be allowed to see who I want.
You live under my roof.
It really rankled her that she wasn't allowed to do what she wanted and with whom.
You're only 16. You should be out having fun, not spending all your time with him.
What Clarissa wanted was more important than what her parents wanted for her. And so what her parents wanted for her meant nothing.
Clarissa doesn't want to be Daddy's little girl anymore. She continues her forbidden romance with Ray.
If you really loved me, you would do it.
You can't be serious.
I'm so serious.
Clarissa decided that she had had enough. She was tired of her dad, so she told Ray that if you really loved me, you will kill him.
Ray would do anything to keep her from breaking up with him.
In the early hours of October 20th, 2010. The teens put their harebrained plan into action.
He very quietly snuck in the house around 3 in the morning.
Ray musters his courage while his sweetheart waits.
Ray stood there for maybe half an hour, deciding when he was actually going to do this.
But murder doesn't come easy for the mild-mannered teen. ...2010, Tucson, Arizona.
You've got to.
16-year-old Clarissa Sanchez and her boyfriend, 19-year-old Ray Coronado, have been separated by Clarissa's father.
Clarissa could have merely run off with her boyfriend. Lots of teenage girls do. But Clarissa wanted to kill her father.
I don't believe that Ray would have ever thought of something like this without Clarissa manipulating him.
Clarissa convinces Ray murder is their only chance at love.
It was a horrific, horrific crime. There was blood everywhere.
Despite her father's horrifying condition, Clarissa remains ice cold.
She stood there and watched him gasp for breath for approximately 5 minutes before her father finally expired.
Okay, now.
Now, the cover-up.
Clarissa wrapped a sweater around his head because he was bleeding so profusely. They wrapped him up in his bed sheets, and they dragged him outside.
You
They leave his body in the backyard, and they just start bleaching everything. They bleach the floors, they bleach the walls. They spent 3.5 hours cleaning the room.
But the teens have no idea how big their job is.
This is hopeless.
Let's flip it.
They want people to think Andrew's left town. They pack some of his things and dump them and Andrew's body in the desert. When Sarah returns from her night shift.
Where's your dad?
He went out last night.
She is surprised that Andrew's not home.
Sarah started getting an inkling that something horrible had happened.
I think I'd better call the police.
Wait a few hours. I'll make you a cup of tea.
Now Clarissa adds a cruel twist to her mother's anguish.
Use Dad's phone to text Mom.
Using the victim's phone, she concocts a shocking story.
Sarah believed that her husband had run away with another woman and that he wouldn't be coming home.
Not only did Clarissa brutally murder her father, but then she tormented her mother as to why her father wasn't there anymore. Totally heartless.
The texts continue for over a week.
Thanks for bringing her home.
Until Ray's father catches the pair, sending the messages.
Look, those texts you've been getting aren't from your husband.
Ray Coronado's dad contacted Sarah and said, I think they have Andrew's phone.
Clarissa and Ray have been sending them.
And I think it's them that have been texting you.
I'll go.
Sarah was just beside herself.
What's going on?
The ruse is about to be exposed. With a routine change of bedding.
They turned over the mattress and saw the stains. And then they called the police.
What is going on? Dad is never coming home.
What?
Clarissa confesses to her sister.
I think Clarissa told her sister not because she felt guilty, but because she was angry and wanted her sister to know what she had done. She wanted credit for it.
Clarissa then tells all to the police.
Clarissa told police that it was kind of her fault because she had told Ray she wanted her father dead. She took the blame for that.
Ray Coronado is convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison. In 2011, Clarissa Sanchez pleads guilty to second-degree murder. She is sentenced to 21 years in prison.
She must serve every single day of that sentence under Arizona law.
Clarissa put a teen romance above her father's life.
Really, to Clarissa, what matters is that she gets to do what she wants. It doesn't matter who she has to hurt to make that happen.
Clarissa Sanchez is one of the most heartless teenage killers I've ever looked at.
A sisterly bond is hard to destroy.
You look beautiful.
The need for them to be together was absolutely crucial.
Even when it turns toxic.
Their bond with each other was, to say the least, unhealthy.
Beware of sisterly love.
Everything grows and grows and grows until it explodes.
In the sleepy French village of Le Mans, southwest of Paris.
We have a new girl, someone you will be pleased to see.
16-year-old Christine Papin and her little sister Leia have an unusual upbringing.
Now it is your job to show her everything I've taught you.
Monday is always wash day.
Their mother has abandoned them to an orphanage while she enjoys a life of her own.
Don't fuss! Look at you!
The girl's mother was a very vain and critical woman. Her daughters could do nothing right. She didn't even like the way they looked.
Clémence Papin sees her children as assets.
Are you taking us home?
And is about to put the eldest to work.
I have work for you.
Leia too?
Of course not. She is too young.
She wanted Christine to go into service so that she could earn money to give to her mother.
We must go together.
Stop this nonsense.
For them, the idea of being separated was something that they couldn't bear because they'd already formed such a close bond.
Christine is sent away to be a maid, while little Leia is left behind. Six years later,
this is a very good reference.
Christine is a good employee, starting work for the wealthy Lancelin family.
And you can cook?
Yes, madame.
Madame Lancelin came from a well-to-do family. She'd married a solicitor. He was often absent for his job, and so it was left very much to her to run the house.
And can you start straight away?
I would be very grateful if you would employ my sister too.
If you can prove yourself to be a good worker, then maybe we can arrange something.
Daughter Genevieve may soon have someone else to wait on her. Christine's sister. For most of their life, the two sisters have only each other.
I will make one to match.
We will do everything together.
The sisters formed a very close bond when they went to the Lancelin, and they had no outside interests.
Sharing a room in the attic, they shut out the rest of the world.
The relationship was clearly obsessive. Here were two human beings, each of whom was providing for the other the kinds of support and emotional closeness which the vast majority of us seek from a variety of different sources.
You look beautiful.
Christine and Leah's bond with each other was, to say the least, unhealthy. It didn't happen overnight. It happened over years.
The sisters are very close. But their relationship with the Launcelin family is falling apart.
Ah, afternoon tea.
Christine and Leah lived lives that were very distant from their employers.
Girls, make sure the dresses are pressed for the morning.
Of course.
There didn't seem to be any conversation between them apart from Madame giving very basic orders.
Why are they so surly this afternoon?
Madame Launcelin's domineering ways are frustrating the sisters.
Oh, la la, I'm not having that!
Sorry, madame.
She could be critical as an employer and probably reminded them of their own mother,
idiot child,
whom they hated.
Pick it up!
Do not touch my sister.
There was clearly a transference onto her of a great many pent-up feelings against the mother.
The sisters' only comfort is each other and their awakening sexuality.
I love you.
I love you too. It's a kind of confused sort of mother, daughter, sister, sister, lover relationship.
Then, one night, Madame Launcelin discovers her servant's strange behavior. And tensions boil over.
It was bound to end badly for someone.
...1933, in the town of Le Mans, France. Maids Christine and Léa Papin have been hiding something from their family employers. They are lovers.
Everybody knew about this incestuous relationship. Nobody was mentioning it.
Be careful with the iron today.
When they became intimately involved with each other, it probably deepened their bond.
I need my blue dress ironed today.
The bond was already unhealthy. This made it worse.
When a faulty iron sparks an electrical short, it brings the sister's secret out into the open.
The iron made the lights fail.
It may have been the moment which allowed Madame to make some kind of remark that they were having an affair. They reacted more powerfully than they needed.
This was a crime that needed two to commit it, because it needed two to fuel the emotional flames.
The sisters tore out the eyes of the other two women with their bare hands.
It was a symbolic erasing of the moment. You didn't see what you thought you saw. You didn't see that at all.
The sisters haven't finished yet. They want revenge for every harsh word.
They belabored them with, among other things, a hammer.
And they cut the legs of the women.
Alfred Hitchcock could not have written a story about what the girls did to the bodies of Madame Lancelin and her daughter.
That evening, Monsieur Lancelin is locked out of his house. Finally, in frustration, he calls the police.
Police came back with him, and three of them went into the house. They discovered Madame and Genevieve on the landing. The eyeballs must have been a terrible shock. The crime itself was exceptionally horrendous.
Their initial hypothesis was that there was a mad killer on the loose and that they were expecting to find Christine and Leah massacred in their beds.
But what they found instead was that they were both huddled up together in bed.
Having made absolutely no attempt to abscond or cover up their crime.
The sisters admit their guilt. In 1933, Christine Papin is found guilty of murder and sentenced to death by guillotine. Her sentence is commuted to hard labor for life.
Christine was obviously the more dominant sister. She was the one that actually instigated the attack, and Leah went along with her.
Younger sister Leah is sentenced to 10 years hard labor and released in 1943.
I don't think Leah was a natural-born killer. I don't think Christine was either. Christine became ill. And she led Leah down the path. After that influence was gone from Leah's life, Leah was okay.
Then, the most surprising twist.
Don't fuss!
When Leah is released, she returns to the arms of the woman who first abandoned her, her mother.
No matter how awful Clemence was, there was always a kind of a love there, but a sort of love-hate relationship. And the bond was so strong, it was never really broken.
Most parents will do anything to protect their child.
Parents never stop worrying about their little girls.
It's my life.
But when a teen rebels,
she doesn't strike you as a menacing figure.
Who protects the parents?
How could she do that?
New York City, a magnet for those with dreams of a better life. Like Hong Kong immigrants, 55-year-old Stephen, and 41-year-old Chi Lin Leong.
They were trying hard, like a lot of immigrant parents in New York City who are working their tails off to make ends meet.
Can I have a bit more of that cabbage there, honey?
Okay. Both worked in restaurants in that area.
Oh, good.
Both often worked overtime or double shifts to support the family.
They want their children to live the American dream.
Boo!
17-year-old Connie is a diligent student with good grades.
Stop that nonsense! You have work to do, Connie.
They were strict, only because they wanted them to finish their education.
Connie is a bright young woman.
Be good. Work hard.
I will.
Connie went to a very prestigious, competitive science and math prep school.
She was a very smart girl and had a good future ahead of her.
But soon, Connie's studies are sidetracked.
Next time.
By 20-year-old Eric Louissant.
When Connie met Eric, she really went over the moon.
It's punch, punch, kick, kick. Let's go.
He didn't work, he didn't go to school. Someone that just had a lot of time on their hands and wasn't doing anything worthwhile.
Boom! Yes!
Woo!
Eric was a little bit of a cipher.
What do you do now?
I made some manga.
He had developed something of a fantasy world for himself.
It's my favorite character.
He was into comic books and Japanese animation.
Don't your parents want you to go to college?
Sure, but I don't talk to them.
For Connie, it doesn't matter. Eric is her soulmate. Her first true love.
From there, they started having discussions about having this sort of alternate fantasy life themselves.
And in their fantasy, they will live happily ever after. Connie introduces Eric to the family. Eager for her parents' approval.
Wow, really good.
So, Eric, what plans have you made for the future?
Plans? I don't really have any plans.
But that's something they can't give.
Eric is studying martial arts and Japanese culture.
Her personality had changed since she had been seeing Eric.
At college?
No.
She started disobeying her parents or staying out later than she was supposed to.
I'll make more tea.
She was starting to slide off the scale.
I'll help you.
She stopped going to school.
Dang.
She was usually an A student, and now she was getting C's and D's. She just wanted to be with him.
Connie's father is summoned to her school.
Is there any reason you missed so many classes?
This made her parents furious that she wasn't showing up at school.
No problems at home?
The problem is her boyfriend.
You always blame Eric.
The parents didn't approve of their relationship and dissuaded her from going out with Eric.
Your grades have slipped considerably. Something has to change.
It will.
He wanted for her to finish her education and then perhaps find a boyfriend.
I assure you.
It's my life, and you are not going to tell me how to live it.
But to love struck Connie, it's her parents who are in the wrong.
She had reached her breaking point, and she could see no other way out.
East Harlem, New York. the year 2000. 17-year-old Connie trades school books for her 20-year-old boyfriend, Eric Louisant.
Missed you.
Her hard-working parents think she is ruining her life.
They disapproved of their relationship, and they were like in love, and they wanted to be together.
Wouldn't it be great if we could go on a road trip?
The pair fantasizes about running away together.
As if my parents would let me.
They had this, like, you know, Romeo and Juliet thing.
It's our life.
He had idealized this idea of running away with her.
We need money.
Just two things stand in their way.
It's the only way.
November 2nd, 2000. Stephen is enjoying a rare night off work.
Connie's father was home from his job at a restaurant, watching TV.
I'm sorry for yelling at you.
Connie came around and started talking to her father to distract him.
It's not Eric's fault. You always blame Eric.
Eric snuck up behind him. Quickly put the belt around his neck and started strangling him.
Stephen puts up a fight.
Connie, help!
But has no hope when his daughter joins in.
Can you imagine the horror? The last thing you see in your life is your own child holding you down while someone kills you.
It took a couple minutes, but eventually they were able to strangle him to death.
Connie and Eric killed her father. They had time to think things through.
What do we do now?
We wait.
Some kids might have said, oh my gosh, that was terrible. Let's get out of here. They didn't.
As the mother came in, he was hiding behind a door.
Dad's not home. He should be here by now.
And just started choking her as well. And again, Connie assisted. There was no more movement.
Connie didn't have to hold her parents down while her boyfriend choked the life out of them. But that is what she did.
They seemed to think that they were going to live happily ever after this.
Over the next 3 days, while Connie's parents lie dead in their bedroom, the pair plunders the family's life savings.
They took some of the jewelry and other valuable objects in the apartment.
I think it was about $5,000 or $6,000 worth.
Their fantasy road trip is becoming a reality. But first, they need to get rid of the bodies.
They put the father's body in a plastic bag, put him in the shopping cart, down the elevator, walked him down approximately a block to the East River, and dumped the father in.
And then they got another shopping cart and they did the same thing with the mother.
The couple hides in a New York hostel, but their adventure is short-lived. The East River gives up their secrets. The bodies are identified. And when friends tell police about the family troubles,
how much will we get for this?
Police are led straight to the prime suspects.
Connie, Leon.
To some extent, this wasn't fully real to them. It was just sort of a means to the ends to let them live this sort of nice fantasy life.
Eric and Connie's fantasy ends abruptly. They don't even concoct a story for police.
Connie was very cold. She showed like no emotion when she told us that her and Eric had just killed her parents. It's probably the most open and shut, one of the easiest cases I ever worked.
In 2002, Eric Louisant and Connie Leung are convicted of two counts of second-degree murder. Eric is sentenced to 30 years to life. Connie will also spend 30 years to life in prison.
The baffling thing about this case was, you know, two young people that just graduate from never having been in trouble before to a double murder. And it's hard to explain.
They had everything. They had the future. They wasted it. I'm still trying to figure out exactly why.
The story of Connie and Eric is kind of a classic Romeo and Juliet. Except instead of killing themselves, they killed her parents.
These deadly women had company when they killed. Clarissa Sanchez swapped a father's love for freedom. The Papin sisters silenced their accusers. And Connie Leung found her fantasy was really a horror story. These deadly women teamed up to murder. They were double trouble.